Our meditation is entitled, When the Sands of Time Run Out. But when the time had fully come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman. God's Son, born of a woman, truly God, truly man, born under the law, required to keep the law of God. For what purpose? To redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. You see, we forfeited our sonship when we rebelled against God. We're no longer sons of God by birth. We become sons of God now by adoption. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, and the Greek literally means daddy. That kind of warm relationship. So through God, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if we're a son, then we are an heir to the incredible riches of the kingdom of God. That's exciting. May God bless to us this reading from His holy word. To His name be praise and glory forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us pray. Father, give us some new insights about time. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at your watch. What time is it? By the time you tell me what time you have, it's not that time anymore. It's already passed. There are three ways we can think about the kind of time our watch keeps. First, there is time that has passed. There is yesterday, there is last week, there's 2 years ago, there's a century ago. Then second, there is the present moment. The present moment is all the time any of us really have. Then third, there is the future. There's the time that is coming, but it hasn't yet arrived. Now, what would you call that kind of time? Could we call it linear time? Could we call it a time that's like a long line? And if we think of time as a long line, where we are standing at the moment on that timeline is the now. Everything else is either past or future. Now, the Bible tells us that this kind of time is chronos time. Now, we get a number of English words from chronos. For example, we get chronometer. Your watch is a chronometer. We get chronology. We get chronic. We get chronicle. They're words that deal with measuring time in one way or another. Now, according to the Bible, this chronos time has a beginning. The Bible tells us that in the beginning God created, and when God began to create, do you know what He created first? First, the Bible says He created light. He separated it from the darkness. And then He called the light day and the darkness night. And the Bible says there was evening and there was morning one day. So time began. Time was the first thing God created. There was darkness, there was light, and a day came into being. Time began. So in the beginning, the Bible tells us, time starts. As a sort of aside, I think it's rather interesting today that science has conclusively demonstrated that the so-called Big Bang theory of the universe is correct. There was a moment when there was no creation. And then in an instant, in a bang, there was creation. But the Bible tells us that not only did time begin, the Bible also tells us it will end. Did you know that? As we come to the close of the book of Revelation, we read these words, Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. It passed away, and the sea was no more. Time ends. Now, since God created time, and since it has a beginning and it has an end, we also learn that God has a purpose for time. Time is the context. Time is the arena. in which God's purpose gets itself worked out. It means simply that God, when He created, had a plan for the world. And when God created the universe, He had a reason. He had a plan in mind. And when God created the universe, He created the context of time in which His purpose would get itself worked out. That means that God has planned some things that are going to happen right on schedule. When God called Abram from the Ur of the Chaldees and made him into Abraham, God was on schedule. When God spoke from a burning bush and called Moses to go into Egypt to bring the children of Israel out, God was on schedule. When God divided the Red Sea, He was right on time. Yes, God has a plan for time. And things are happening according to God's schedule. Now that's exactly what our scripture for this morning says. It says, when the Chronos, when the time had fully come, God sent forth His Son. That means that when Joseph knocked on the innkeeper's door, God was on schedule. It means that when the shepherds heard the angels sing, God was on schedule. It means that when the wise men saw the star, God was on time. It means that when the baby Jesus was born, God was right on schedule. Well, that's the first point I want to make this morning. I want to make the point that Christmas means God was right on schedule. His plan was right on time. The second point I want to make is this. The Bible says that there will come a point in time. There will come a point in real history when time will cease to be. We don't know when that moment will be. It may be this afternoon. It may be tomorrow. It may be next year. It may be 1,000 years from now. But one thing we know, whatever moment God has planned, when that moment arrives, God's going to be right on schedule. And what He began will end. It may well be that all of us here this morning may be dead many generations ago when the end of time happens. It may well be that our children and their children, even into the fifth and sixth generation, may die before time comes to an end. But the Bible tells us that we must live in daily expectation of that end. We must live in daily expectation of God's schedule. And why should we do that? For the simple reason we don't know what God's schedule is. The Bible says we ought to be prepared. You see, the Jews had looked for and longed for centuries for the Messiah to come, because they weren't aware of when God would come. They were not ready. And when that knock came on the innkeeper's door, he didn't realize God was right on time. When Herod sought to kill the baby Jesus, he didn't realize God was on schedule. When the Pharisees put a man named Jesus to death, they didn't realize God was on time. When Pilate permitted himself to be bullied into crucifying a man he believed in his heart was innocent, he didn't know God was on schedule. Do you know God's schedule? Well, I don't know it either. And that's what the parable Jesus told about the 10 maids, 5 wise and 5 foolish, is all about. It's all about being ready. It's about being prepared. You remember that story. At midnight, when the bridegroom arrived, suddenly, unexpectedly, the lamps of the 5 foolish maids had gone out. They were not ready. They were unprepared. And they could not enter the wedding feast. And I think Christmas raises the question, are we ready? You see, the sands of time will run out. Here's a demonstration, Christmas. God was right on schedule. He says He's coming again. He will be on schedule. Are we ready? The sands of time will run out. And God will be right on schedule. But there's another passage of Scripture which is also translated the fullness of time. It's over in the book of Ephesians in chapter 1, verse 10. And this is a rather difficult passage. I'm going to read it for you. For He, that is God, has made known to us in all wisdom and insight the mystery of His will. God's revealed the mystery of His will. What is the mystery of His will? That we all be redeemed. Let me read it. Insight, the mystery of His will, according to His purpose, which He set for in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Jesus, God's going to bring everything together in the fullness of time. Now, interestingly enough, the Greek word translated time is not the Greek word chronos. It's not that linear time. In this instance, the Greek word is kairos. It means time in the sense of the appropriate moment. There's an appropriate moment, young people, to kiss your date for the first time. There's an appropriate moment to ask the girl you love to marry you. There's an appropriate moment to ask Dad for a raise in your allowance. There is an appropriate moment to tell your husband you have just dented the front fender of his new car. Do you see the difference? Chronos is linear time. It's time as a continuum. It is time that has a past, a present, and a future. But kairos means time as the appropriate moment, the opportune time. When Joseph knocked on the innkeeper's door, God was on schedule. The chronos of God had arrived. But for the innkeeper, it was his kairos. It was his moment of opportunity. It was the appropriate time for him to seize his opportunity to serve God. Do you know what? He missed his kairos. He missed his chance. He missed his opportunity. Would he ever have another chance? I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. How many opportunities have you had to give your heart to Jesus? How many chances have you had to turn your life over to God? If you've missed your kairos, will you have another opportunity? And I can't answer that question because I don't know, and you can't either. And you're betting an awful lot if you let a kairos go by and don't seize it. Let me tell you about two men named Art and Walter. Walter took Art for a ride out in the country. They left the main road and drove through a dirt road, through groves of trees, to an uninhabited expanse of land. A few horses were grazing. There were still a few old buildings standing. And Walter stopped the car, got out, and started to describe to Art with great vividness the wonderful things he was going to build. And he wanted his friend Arthur, naturally, to buy some of the land surrounding his project to get in on the ground floor. But Arthur thought to himself, who in the world is going to drive 25 miles out in the country for this crazy project? The logistics of this venture are staggering. But Walter said to his friend, I can handle the main project myself, but it will take all of my money. The land bordering it, where we're standing now, will in just a couple of years be jammed with hotels and restaurants and convention halls to accommodate the people who will come to spend their entire vacation at my park. He went on, I want you to have the first chance at this surrounding acreage, because in the next 5 years, it will multiply in value hundreds of times. What could I say? I knew he was wrong, Arthur says today. I knew that he had let this dream get the best of his common sense. So I mumbled something about a tight money situation and promised that I would look into the matter a little later on. Later on will be too late, Walter said, as they walked back to the car. You'd better move on it right now. And so, Art Linkletter turned down the opportunity to buy up all the land that surrounded what was to become Disneyland. His friend, Walt Disney, tried to talk him into it. And Art thought he was crazy. Here was the kairos, the moment of opportunity. And he let it slip through his fingers, and it would never return. Later on, we'll be too late. If we miss our kairos, if we miss our opportune moment, if we miss our chance, we may never have another. And Christmas reminds us that God is on schedule. The chronos of God moves relentlessly on. One of our hymns has a verse in it that goes like this. Time, like an ever-rolling stream, bears all its sons away. They fly forgotten as a dream dies at the opening day. Yes, the ever-rolling stream of time bears each of us away. But within that chronos of our lives, each of us may have many kairoses, many opportunities, many chances, many appropriate moments when we may open our hearts to Jesus and let Him come in. One day, however, the time will come when either Jesus comes again, or time, like an ever-rolling stream, bears us all away. And then it will be too late. Our kairos will have passed. Our opportunity will be gone. As Walt Disney said to Art Linkletter, later on, will be too late. Christmas reminds us God's own schedule. But I would ask, what time is it for you? Let us pray.